From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. This hour, we welcome the Democratic candidates for state Senate in the 56th District. We are just over 1 month away from the primary and special elections, but many of you will vote absentee by mail. Got those applications already, some voting now, some voting in person early when that window opens up. Some will vote on June 23rd. And as always, our goal on Connections is to bring you the candidates together at length to discuss the issues. This is a Senate seat that has been held for many years by Joe Robach, who has decided not to run for re-election. Robach is a Republican. There are three Democrats running for the nomination, hoping to challenge for the seat in the November election. They'll have the chance to introduce themselves and to debate why they believe they are best suited to take on this important position in state government, and we welcome them now on the phone. Hello to Hilda Rosario Escher. Hilda, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Evan. How are you? I haven't seen you in a long time.
Well, it's been a little while. I haven't seen hardly anybody in a long time. That's just the way of the world right now. Sharita Trawick, welcome to you, Sharita. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me, Evan. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
You got it. And hello to Jeremy Cooney as well. Jeremy, welcome. Thanks for making time for the program.
Hey, Evan, great to be back on the show.
All right, so I'm going to ask all three of you first to give a little bit of a resume and a rundown for our listeners, and then if you could, also explain why you decided to run for this particular seat. I will start with Sharita Trawick.
Thank you so much, Evan. My name is Sharita Trawick, and I'm running for the New York State Senate 56th District. I'm running as a mother. I decided to run because I'm an elected official in the town of Greece. I sit on the school board. And some of the things that, you know, we needed as a school district, as we were going back and forth and advocating in Albany, I saw that our elected officials weren't able to, you know, bring those deliverables home, mostly because they were in the minority. My background, I have worked in the New York State Senate as well as the Assembly. I currently teach criminal justice at RIT. I also have a nonprofit organization. And I just wanted to bring those that background, that experience to the table. I knew as a Democrat, I would have a better opportunity in that seat to be able to, you know, make an impact on legislation that affects education, health care, outcomes in our criminal justice system. And so, you know, I was looking around and in terms of the folks that, you know, talking to people, you know, what do you want in a leader? What are you looking for? And people really wanted someone who would be passionate, who would have the energy and had the background and the know-how how to get things done in Albany. So this is why I'm running. It's a little bit about, you know, where I've worked. I also have worked for the state and the Department of Labor as well. I work for the city assessor's office, so I have city government experience. Spent a short amount of time at the district attorney's office, so have some experience at the county level. And I just want to put that to work for the people. There are too many people that are just voiceless. And I think it's time to elect someone that really can bring that experience and the passion that's needed to get things done. Thanks, Evan.
All right. Hilda Rosario Escher, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. When, you know, when I moved to this community at age 25, I faced a lot of barriers. I was a female in a male-dominated culture. I did not speak the language, and I had nothing. I knew I wanted more, and I wanted to do more for Rochester. So I fought for families, and I fought for the whole community. And that allowed me to build relationships and sitting rooms that are vital to our recovery. Now is the time we need my kind of representation. We need to recover, and we need someone to fight and have the know-how to get the resources that our community needs. So, you know, people need to go to my website to see the relationships and the statewide boards that I sit on. And for me, I believe that now is not the time to really to gamble on leadership. And my website is hildaforny.com.
All right. Just to be fair, Sharita, you want to mention your website? I'll have Jeremy do it as well. Go ahead, Sharita.
Thank you so much. It's SharitaTrawick.com. Again, that's SharitaTrawick.com.
Jeremy Cooney, tell us a little bit about your background and why you're running for the seat.
Thanks, Evan. So I got into this race 2 years ago. I took on the tough challenge of Senator Robach 2 years ago because I want to have a strong Democratic voice in the new Democratic majority in Albany to make sure that our families today have a voice at the decision-making table at Albany. And quite frankly, that's not happening right now. We have to have our voices heard in Rochester if we want to remain competitive as a region, to continue to provide resources for our families and to create jobs for the next generation of New Yorkers. So a little bit about my background is I grew up in the 56th Senate District right on Cypress Street off of South Avenue in the city of Rochester. I was raised by a single mom. I'm the only one in this race that actually graduated from Rochester City Schools. I went to city schools K through 12, got scholarships to go on to college and law school. So I am a lawyer by training, but my career has been dedicated to public service. I got my start working for the late and great Congresswoman Louise Slaughter down in Washington, and then I've had the opportunity to work for two New York governors and, of course, serving as the chief of staff to the mayor of Rochester. So I know what it takes to be in leadership. I know what it takes to be a good representative in Albany, to be a fighter for Rochester families. I've been preparing for this, and I'm ready to serve. And what I'm saying to you and what I've said on the campaign trail for the past 2 years is we don't need another do-nothing Albany politician. What we need is an advocate that's homegrown, that knows this community, and will fight for our values.
What's the website, Jeremy?
JeremyCooney.com.
All right, there you go. Three candidates, Jeremy Cooney, Hilda Rosario Escher, Sharita Trawick, running for state senate. We're going to cover a lot of ground this hour, but I want to ask all three of you, and I'll start with Jeremy this time, what's priority one? What do you see as the single most important issue that is either not being addressed effectively or needs to be on the table or is on the table and needs to get done in Albany? Jeremy, priority number one for you if you're elected is what?
Healthcare. I got into this race because I experienced our broken healthcare system with the care of my own mom. I lost my mom a few years ago to cancer, and like many families, struggled with figuring out how to pay for surgeries and expensive treatment and long-term care options. We have to do healthcare better, and it's completely evident that our healthcare system is not working as we face this pandemic together. We need to do things differently. I'm tired of the same old happening. I want to be part of the conversations that make sure that every child in New York has access to quality and affordable health care. We have too many families choosing between paying a copay for their kid to go see a wellness visit or put food on the table. That's not right. Health care is a right, and that's why I got into this race, and that's what the difference I'm going to make.
Hilda Rosario Escher.
You know, if we have learned anything from this pandemic, it's the health care issue that we have in this community, and it reflects in the poor. If you see the numbers, most of the poor people are the ones that are dying, you know. So we need to make sure that we have the health care for all the poor and for all community. This is a right. And I believe that health care, as we reimagine Rochester, and we need to make sure that healthcare is part of the city plan so we can work in the social determinants of health.
All right, Sharita Trawick.
So I agree with my opponents with healthcare, but actually my first priority is education. That would be priority number one for me. As a mother of school-age children, our children are hanging in the balance right now. You know, we don't know when school is going to be opened back up, what school is going to look like. You know, I am asked pretty much daily, Mom, when are we going back to school? Mom, when are sports going to start back up? So, and I'm talking to teachers and parents that are concerned about what education is going to look like. We're seeing, you know, a slide back from our students who have special needs and You know, those needs aren't being met. We see there's a digital divide that exists with those that have access to online learning and those that don't. And we don't really have any real answers. You know, now today, I just got an email from our board president that said no summer school. So where we had thought, you know, well, maybe summer school will help students catch up. Now we're being told no summer school. So the executive orders are coming down. Things are changing daily, and our children are hanging in the balance. Not to mention, how do parents make plans for work and, you know, continuing to provide for their families if they don't know where their children are going to stand? So for me, it's going to be education, and how do we move forward and give our children the stability that they need, because they're our legacy. They're the future, Evan.
So let me just I'll let your opponents respond on education, but Sherita, Hilda, Jeremy, and I'll start with Sherita just briefly, since you all talked a little bit about healthcare. A single payer system at the state level, yes or no, Sherita?
So I'm in agreement with that. I think that having access to healthcare is so, as it's already been stated, you know, we see the most vulnerable are the ones that don't have the access. We see how COVID has, you know, ripped through those communities. So I think accessibility to healthcare, having it be affordable, and I think that's the only way that we're going to see it, where more people are insured across the board. So, yes, I am in support of it, Evan.
Okay. Hilda Rosario Escher, single payer at the state level, yes or no?
I am in support of making sure that the community and the poor and everyone has affordable health care. Now, we have a system now, and for us to go and try to reinvent, let's look at what is wrong with the system and let's work on it. Because you know something? If we go for the single health care system, it's going to take years to really implement it. Let's look at providing health care for all the families. It's 5% of the population that really don't have health care. So let's find ways to make sure that that population gets covered, as well as the people that can't afford to pay. So let's look at the system rather than going. I mean, it would take, the taxes would go up 156%. And it will take years to revamp the system. And while people go uncovered and they don't have the resources to pay, so let's fix what we already have.
Okay, but it sounds like you're less enthusiastic about single payer then.
I have done my research, you know, and according to the research, what I have read is that the quality will not be the same. And also the fact that it's going to take years to revamp the system. So okay, we have other alternatives now. We have a system. So let's look to see what is broken there and try to fix it.
All right. So Sherita Trawick says yes to single payer. Hilda Rosario Escher, different ideas there. Jeremy Cooney, single payer, yes or no?
Yes. I believe that health care is a right. You know, Dr. King said, of all the forms of injustice, the lack of health care is the most shocking. For me, it underlies everything. You can't be an education advocate. You can't be a voter rights advocate. You can't be a criminal justice advocate if you can't take care of your own health. I do support the New York Health Act, which is the single payer proposal that has been stalled in Albany for far too long. And look, I also support universal health care at the federal level. And that's something that Congressman Morelli's talked about as well. But I will say that there is no system that is absolutely perfect, that checks all the boxes. But here's what I do know. We cannot continue to just say, well, it's not perfect, so we're going to stay with the same system, because too many seniors can't afford prescription drugs. The system isn't working for families like mine, and we have to do things differently.
Now, Jeremy and Hilda, I'd like you to respond to some of what Sherita said about education. She says education and properly funding schools, all schools, giving children a chance is a big priority of hers. I'll let her expand on that in a moment. But Jeremy, specifically, what should the state be doing differently? Or are you a fan of what the state is doing when it comes to funding education and any other mechanisms that the state that you would have sort of at your disposal if you're a New York State senator?
So I am not a fan of what the state is currently doing around education, because what the state is currently doing is not meeting its financial obligation to the families of New York. I mentioned before at the top of the program, I'm the only person in this race who graduated from the city school district. And according to our research, we know that the city school district is owed over about approximately $97 million in what we call foundation aid at the state level. Those are millions of dollars that could be invested into families right here in Rochester, some of the neediest families in our community, whether that's social supports, whether that's teachers, whether that's teachers' aides, whether that's our school buildings and modernizing our technology. Those are the things that are responsible for state lawmakers to take leadership on, and we just have been absent. I will say that I'm very proud to be endorsed by the teachers of New York. I've been endorsed by NYSET. My mother was a public school teacher for 35 years, so education is, of course, ingrained in who I am as a person, because I believe that the only way to provide for our children and our families is to give them the best opportunity in life, which is a good-paying job and the chance to provide for their family. Education can do that. Now, I will mention real quick that this is not just the Rochester City School District issue. In the 56th Senate District, there are two school districts last year that did not pass their school budget, and that would be Brighton and Brockport, right? So we know that our suburban towns are also suffering when it comes to a lack of state funding. We need a representative in the Democratic majority of the New York State Senate to make sure that we are getting our fair share.
But it's not going to matter if you can't convince your colleagues to get on board, right?
That's correct. You talk about the colleagues in the Democratic Senate caucus?
Sure, of course.
Absolutely. So why don't you put a city school graduate at that table? I'll make sure they're convinced.
Hilda Rosario Escher, education. Let's be specific.
Well, you know, education is key to really move our community forward. And I really don't agree what's going on in Albany. I believe that our schools are underfunded. And I will fight to make sure that the schools receive the funding that they need to improve their deficit. But in addition to that, you know, to do that, you have to have the relationship already built, and you have to have the knowledge, and you gotta be able to be sitting at the right table. And that's what I have been doing all these years. I have done a lot in terms of working with the city school district. I sat in Rock the Future, which is Cradle to Career, and in many others, the Women's and Girls Council, that is a council that I was appointed by the governor, and we believe in a holistic approach to education. And until we do that, you know, I believe in community schools, and I will fight to make sure that we have the resources to establish the community schools. And one thing specifically is that, you know, in schools that are failing, the government will give you all this money and then they'll take it back. And what kind of message are you giving our kids? You know, so that's why our kids end up dropping out. So I will fight to make sure that our schools that are failing continue to receiving the funds that they need. When I was the CEO of Ibero, we were at school 17, and that is one of the schools that is really doing really well. And that is because it's a community school. The community has galvanized and come and really work to improve the educational outcomes. So I really, education, I will be an advocate, and I will make sure that we get the resources that we need to ensure that a better graduation rate for all our kids. And it's not only for the Rochester City School District, but all the other towns and suburbs that are not receiving the money that they need for the schools.
All right. Sherita Trawick, you want to expand a little bit more on your thoughts on where you would prioritize those efforts educationally?
Thank you. So, you know, I think it's dangerous to just to take a look, just to focus on, you know, one particular district, the Rochester City School District. You know, I sit at a table, Evan, as the former chair of the Monroe County School Boards Association and still an active member, with individuals who are superintendents, who are board members that have spent years working, going back and forth to Albany to represent the interests of all districts. And so, and we are all owed money. I'm an elected member of the Greece Central School Board. And, you know, again, we're one of the largest districts behind the city school district. So when we go to Albany, you know, as your next state senator, you have to have everybody in mind. You just can't go with, you know, one district in your pocket. We've got a whole, you know, there's a whole conglomerate of districts that are owed money, you know, and that are working hard, that are boots on the ground. I'm on the job right now. You know, we go back and forth to Albany. We meet with our elected officials right here in our districts consistently to talk about what our needs are, how we can push the agenda forward. And so that's one thing I would do differently, is I would make sure that all districts are represented. And we need to change the formula, the way that they distribute aid. It is very unfair. It's archaic. You know, some of our legislators can't even explain how it works. And we need people to fill out their census information. So there's an education piece that goes along with that, because a lot of the money that, you know, we need to have in our district is based on old numbers. They don't understand that our demographics are changing, our student needs are changing, our program needs are changing. So being someone that's already in this position, elected and has won, I would be able to bring those thoughts to the table and say, this is what we need to take a look at. And you also asked a secondary question to Jeremy, you know, how do you convince your colleagues? Well, here's what I bring to the table. I bring collaboration. I sit on a nonpartisan board right now. When I ran for school board, it didn't matter to me that I was a Democrat and the doors I would knock on were Republican. I knew that families cared about their kids being educated. I knew that they needed someone on that board that would be a strong advocate for children, and that's what I went with. So when I go to Albany, what I'm going to be doing is working across the aisle, because there, it doesn't matter if you're in New York City or if you're in some rural part of New York State. Education is important. We know that this is the foundation for the future. We educate our kids in hopes that, you know, they take career and college pathways. This is our future, and we have to secure our future. So I plan to go there ready to collaborate, and relationship building is what I'm great at. This is what I've done my whole life. So I don't think I'm going to have a problem at all. I think I'm the best representative for the job, because I'm seeing the full scope of what we need to do.
Sherita Trawick, Hilda Rosario Escher, Jeremy Cooney, the three Democrats running for state senate, and you've got a chance to decide which will be the nominee in the November election, in the June 23rd election. And, of course, we're seeing a lot more people interested in voting by mail, which is an option for all voters, whether it's the June 23rd primary or special election. So you got a chance to vote by mail or vote early in person or vote in person on June 23rd. Three ways to vote, even in a pandemic, and trying to make that accessible to everybody. So the candidates have some differences of opinions on issues. They align in certain ways. They've got different backgrounds, and that's part of what we're trying to draw out and let our listeners understand here. But they have all said they want to see more emphasis from Albany for schools, more funding. Hilda, let me start with you. in a normal, non-pandemic year, there is a crunch and a debate over how you prioritize funding. Now, you've got every local government that's not the federal government in the country way down. The city of Rochester, tens of millions of dollars down. County of Monroe, tens of millions of dollars down. New York State, likely billions of dollars down. And you're still talking about prioritizing more funding as if it's a normal year. Where does the money come from, Hilda Rosario Escher? I'll start with you.
Absolutely. I think that there will be money, and that's why we need to continue advocating and fighting for the resources, because a lot of times the resources go downstate. So it's time that we bring the resources here, and you need someone that has those relationships and that sits in those rooms that where there are negotiations that go on and that know the people to bring the resources to this community. So you just have to fight. And I'm sure that the federal government will be providing the funding to the state. But if anything, we downstate receives most of the funding. And that is because there are more senators and assembly people from New York City. So we need to make sure that our voice is heard. And the only way that we are going to have that voice heard is by having someone that has the relationships and that has the knowledge, because as a CEO, I was able to advocate for funding for this community, and I brought millions of dollars. And I really believe that we need to bring the fair share to this community. And I'm prepared to do that, to fight for this community and to fight for funding for our education system.
All right, Sherita Trawick, where does the money come from?
So I think we have to have a realistic conversation, and I think districts are already having that. I know at least in Greece we're having it. We are bracing ourselves for cuts, the possibility of mid-year cuts. We are trying to prepare our budgets. Actually, we just voted on our budget, over a $200 million budget to fund our upcoming school year. And so we are already bracing ourselves for the fact that there might be cuts, or we might, be at the same level of aid that we were funded at last year. So, that is a real conversation. That's the transparency that is necessary. We know we're in a pandemic right now. We know our governor has said he is spending money that we don't have. So I think that what we need to do moving forward is have a long-range plan. We're not going to stay in this pandemic forever. I'm confident of that. We're already pulling ourselves out as a community, which is so, it's great. It shows our resilience. But we need a long-range plan. Right now, we need a plan that's short-term that shows, okay, this is what we're up against for the upcoming year. We have to brace ourselves that we may not get additional funding, that there might be mid-year cuts. But then what are the creative solutions that we can come up with as districts, as a state, to say so that the cuts don't come to the classroom, or we can keep cuts away from programs that our children really need? And for me, that comes down to community partnerships. We have some wonderful nonprofit organizations in our area that do great work. And so now is the time for our leaders to start to have the conversation, whether it's school district leaders or business leaders or nonprofit leaders, on how we can bring those resources together so that, we can kind of fill in the gaps. But I think you just have to have a two-pronged approach. I don't think you can just look at it and say, we're not going to have cuts, because the reality is we are. We are going to have cuts, but then what do we do moving forward? What is the long-range plan? If we got to take a hit now, what does it look like in a year, 2 years? How are we planning And what this pandemic has showed us is, you know, there are things that can happen that we have no, that are out of our control. But what I am hoping is that as we move forward, and I am part of conversations with business owners and educators and community members about what is our plan if this were to happen again. So that's how I choose to look at the situation, okay, that we have to have a multi-approach.
Jeremy Cooney.
I would say that I differ from my opponents because I look through a lens of practicality, right? So I studied economics, and so there's a revenue side of the equation, and then there's an expense side of the equation. Now, Democrats get a bad rap because everyone always accuses us of saying we want to tax our way out of every problem. That's the revenue side, right? And I do believe, by the way, that we need to increase our taxes on the ultra-wealthy in New York State to help pay for the priorities that we've already discussed, like healthcare and education. But we can't just tax our way out of a problem. We can't just keep on adding more and more fees onto small businesses, especially businesses that are struggling to survive post-COVID. One practical way that we can increase revenue to the state is through marijuana legalization. I'm one of the few candidates that support the recreational use of marijuana. I know that between 2014 and 2019, over that five-year period, Colorado collected over $1 billion in tax revenue. Now, when we're talking about a state deficit of $7 billion, we know that that's not enough to get us to where we need to be, that we will still have to look at the expense side of the equation, right? We will have to make some difficult cuts. But I believe in the power of efficiency. I've worked in government. I've worked at the federal government. I've worked in local government. One of the things I learned when I was at City Hall is, what are you going to stop doing to, in order to be able to do something else that is a priority of today's families? We have an alphabet soup in Albany. We have so many different agencies operating in silos, not talking to each other. You got OCFS that's not talking to OPWDD. It's a mess. It's a mess. So we can run government more efficiently on the expense side. But again, we need to have lawmakers who have the courage and have the relationships and have the knowledge of how to balance a budget in Albany. We can't just keep on kicking the can down the road for the next generation to bear the brunt of.
I'm committed to
doing that work.
I'd like to try to do just real quick yes or no questions, because we got to get a break, and then we're going to come back and talk about responding to COVID in a bit of a broader way here. But Jeremy Cooney, legalize marijuana, yes?
Yeah.
Hilda Rosario Escher?
Absolutely. That's going to bring us more revenue.
Okay. Sharita Trawick. Are you there, Sharita?
Yes.
Oh, there
I'm
you are.
Sorry, I had to unmute.
Oh, no, it's okay. Go ahead, Sharita. Yes or no on marijuana?
Yes.
That's a yes from all three. They're the candidates for the Democratic nomination in the 56th State Senate District. Jeremy Cooney, Sharita Trawick, Hilda Rosario Escher joining us this hour in a conversation about the issues in this race. Let's get our only break, and we'll come right back here on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on the next Connections, we talk to local attorneys who are advising businesses on getting ready to reopen. But they're telling them about everything from liability to what they need to do inside and outside on the premises to get ready for customers. In our second hour, the future of the B&B industry. Boutique stays. Bed and breakfast may be struggling. Will you have somewhere to stay if you want to travel this summer? We'll talk about it. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. And so Governor Cuomo has said, we really need a federal bailout for states and local governments, because the federal government is the only one who can print money and spend at a deficit and make a lot more flexible decisions. State governments, county governments, local governments, they've got to balance budgets. And the governor says, if the state doesn't step up, we're headed for a recession into a depression because of just how massive an issue this is. Now, the critics of the governor, particularly from the political left in the state, have said he ought to raise taxes on the wealthiest New Yorkers. And that could be a source to pay for what needs to be paid for and not make draconian cuts. So, Hilda Rosario Escher, I'll start with you. Should we see those tax cuts, tax raises, increases on the wealthiest New Yorkers? Hilda.
I believe that we always are raising taxes. And yes, we can look at raising taxes and the wealthy, but we do that a lot. So we need to make sure that we bring more revenue. And like I said, with the marijuana, we will bring more revenue to the state. So, yeah, that would be a way. But I think that we need to continue to advocate and fight with the federal government to get the resources to the community. And I think that this is the perfect time to do it because it's an election year. And I'm sure that the federal government, the president does want to make sure that he's reelected. So I believe that the governor is doing the fighting and is giving a good fight to bring the resources that we need to make sure that we fight this pandemic. I mean, we need to continue to reimagine and to bring the small businesses to reopen and safely. There are a lot of things that we need to do as a community, and this pandemic has taught us a lot. And basically, we may have to look at raising taxes on the rich.
Okay. Sherita Trawick.
Okay. So, yes, I'm in agreement. I think that we definitely need to raise taxes on the wealthiest. I think in light of COVID, you know, one thing that it has shown us is that we're all in this together, you know, but we haven't been all in it together when it comes to taxing. And so we want to make sure that, you know, we have the revenue that we need. And raising taxes on that top wealthiest percentage, it will give us additional revenue. And they need to pay their fair share. You know, we've been balancing this budget on the backs of hardworking, just average Joes for way too long. And I'm hoping that as a result of COVID and people, you know, it didn't matter whether you were wealthy, whether, you know, you were poor, the disease was indiscriminate, you know, and it showed us that it could touch anyone. And so, you know, it is my thought, and what I want to bring to the New York State Senate is this idea that we have to start looking at other solutions and pressing other parts of the population harder, which is the wealthiest. You know, even just putting a luxury tax on the purchase of yachts or the purchase of some of these, you know, extraordinary items would bring in so much more revenue. It would take care of some of the gaps we have in Medicaid, some of the gaps we have in education. So I'm not afraid to broach that subject. I know that there have been some of our lawmakers who have been afraid that if they push this luxury tax on the top percentage that they'll leave New York State or, you know, we'll lose them. But at the same time, we can't continue to break the backs of those that are here to stay, that have their roots here, that have their families here. So, yes, I am in favor of raising taxes on that top percent.
Okay. Jeremy Cooney.
If you're like me, you spend part of each day watching Andrew Cuomo give his briefing. And I can tell you that I am so glad he's in our corner because I don't want to have anyone else as our advocate in New York than Governor Cuomo and Joe Morelli going to Washington to tell the guy in the White House that he needs to knock it off. And I'll tell you one specific thing that he could do or they could do for us is to make sure that we change the SALT deduction, the state and local taxes deduction, because that will allow people with higher incomes in New York State to stay in New York State and contribute more taxes. Now, to your question directly, Evan, would I support taxing the ultra rich to be able to fund the priorities like education and healthcare? You bet. I absolutely feel that everyone needs to pay their fair share in New York. But we cannot continue, again, as a Democratic Party, as an upstate New Yorker, as a citizen, we cannot continue to tax our way out of these problems. We have to look at the expense side of the equation. What can we do to find efficiencies? There's a lot of waste being done. There's a lot of fraud that's happening on our Medicaid side, right? There's a lot of things we can do to find cost savings in New York. So, yes, can we increase our federal advocacy through the leadership of Governor Cuomo and Congressman Morelli? You bet we can. Is there more we can do to take personal responsibility at the state level and our state capital to make sure that we are protecting taxpayer dollars? You bet. And I think it takes a leader to understand both sides of the equation, and that's the leadership I bring to this race.
All right, Jeremy, I'll start with you. A little bit of listener feedback. Michael says, will any of the candidates vote to repeal the bill that, in his words, lets criminals out of jail without having to post bail? We're talking about bail reform. There's been a lot of debate about that. Jeremy Cooney, I'll start with you. Where do you stand on the reforms that did initially pass? What do you think about some of the proposed amendments to it?
So I do support the criminal justice reforms that were passed last year. They just went into effect on January 1st of 2020. And as you may know, during the budget process this session, they were slightly rolled back. But what I will tell you is I believe as an attorney that justice should be blind, and one's wallet size should not determine whether one stays in jail. So do I support bail reform? Yes, I do not think we should have cash bail in New York, and I'm glad we do not. That being said, I've spoken to a number of judges. I've spoken to a number of public defenders that will give specific instances, whether it's in a domestic violence context or otherwise, or youth offenders, right, that have specific nuanced cases where judicial discretion is needed. We know that that's a slippery slope and we have to be careful about that. But look, it's a start, right? The criminal justice reforms that were passed by bold leaders in Albany last year, we can't just revert to all or nothing thinking. We have to continue to act as Democrats and do what's best for the working people of New York State. And I believe that we need reform when it comes to our criminal justice system.
Sherita Trayrick.
So I also think we need reform when it comes to our justice system. Do I support the bail reform that as when they were passed? Absolutely. But then we started to hear information from some of our stakeholders, you know, our friends in law enforcement, even some of our folks that, you know, are in our district attorney's office and our public defender's offices, that there wasn't enough conversation. There weren't enough stakeholders at the table. And this is why we ended up with, you know, holes in the law itself. So, and we had to make compromises through this budget process. So I am for making sure that we have the right stakeholders at the table. We just can't pass laws arbitrarily. I know we want to right the wrongs of the past. I get it. I know that our system needs reforming, but we have to do it in a way where we're not going back later and making amendments because we didn't have the right people at the table. So I am in support of the bail reforms. But I am not, you know, happy with the stories that are coming out, you know, with folks that are repeat offenders. We just had a situation that happened right here in the town of Gates where folks were let out on bail and then they were arrested, but, you know, they were let out and now, you know, they've been caught again for a string of burglaries. So you don't want to have those kinds of loopholes in the system. And that's why you need someone that's boots on the ground. I teach criminal justice. I've been doing that for some years now. And as a teacher, you know, it is my job not only to present the information, but to talk about how we can collaboratively come together to fix a system. You know, not from the outside, not just from a practitioner standpoint, because lawyers are going to have their perspective, law enforcement is going to have their perspective, but we need a community conversation about what is going to work. We know our criminal justice system is broken and it needs help in various areas, but we also can't put our citizenry at risk because we're just passing blanket legislation without getting the input that we need. So I think it was a bold move, but I think that we do need to revisit it.
All right. Hilda Rosaria Escher.
Absolutely. I believe that we cannot criminalize poverty. And, you know, we find that before the people that were able to post bail were able to get out, but the people that were poor and could not post bail, they, you know, they stay in jail. So I believe that we really need to also
involve other people and see what other things need to happen. We need to listen to the police officers and the judges and others in the community and see if there are other areas that we can change. But I do believe in that law.
All right, Sanjay.
Hey, Evan.
Yes, go ahead, Jeremy.
Can I just add that one thing that I think was a mistake in the criminal justice reforms by the legislature is that while they started to roll back some of these changes, they did not do was invest in pretrial services, because those are the services, whether we're talking about monitoring or whether we're talking about more money for public defenders or whether we're talking about mental health counseling, all of those services help prevent repeat offenders. And it's not enough to just look at the punitive side. Right, we have to also invest in the rehabilitation side, and I think that was a mistake, and that we need to put more state resources into pretrial services to be able to help people who are navigating the criminal justice system.
All right, let me get a listener question from Sanjay, who says, prior to the pandemic, Ms. Trawick, you were on a radio show advocating against state vaccine mandates for school-age children. We're now in the midst of a devastating pandemic that could have been mitigated if we had a vaccine. Does the current situation change your view on this in any way?
Yes. Thank you for the question, Sanjay. So I am against the HPV vaccination. That was the specific vaccination that I was talking about, and I'm still against it. But in terms of, and I'll, just a little explanation about that, I didn't feel that there was enough conclusive evidence for that HPV to be mandated. You know, it's a sexually transmitted disease. I don't think the state should have the opportunity to tell parents when to have that conversation with their kids about sex. And it wasn't conclusive that this vaccination would prevent cancer. And so for those reasons, there were just too many questions out there. You know, to me, it skirted the line of parental support and, you know, parental power. And I felt like the state was just overreaching, you know, so that's why I was against it. And so that being said, now with the coronavirus, you know, actually, I was just reading some information today about school. So, for example, school sports. So one of the things that's being proposed is that sports won't be able to, you know, happen again until we find, you know, whether it be a vaccine or put out these other things in place. So I am for, you know, coronavirus is a deadly, deadly virus. We know, we have seen the numbers. We know it's killing people. So if there was a vaccination for corona and that would keep our kids safer and that would, you know, make us, would, you know, flatten the curve, get rid of the disease, absolutely. Absolutely, because the numbers support that. But I'm not for vaccinations that are just going to be arbitrarily out there that are going to benefit pharmaceutical companies that are going to cause inequities, because if you don't have health insurance, how do you pay for it? And then the end result was your kid couldn't be in school without the vaccination. But when it comes to something like corona that has shown that it can kill, and it may, a vaccination may be the only way that we can get back to some normalcy, yes, I am in support of it.
Jeremy Cooney, 1 minute or less response. Go ahead.
Listen, anything we can do to prevent another family from having to go through the devastation of losing a loved one to cancer, I'm in favor of. This is a no-brainer to me. I mean, we know that the HPV vaccine reduces the threat of cervical cancer, throat cancer, right? As someone who saw his own mother go through that process, I just don't want to inflict that upon any family. And by the way, the HPV vaccine was invented here at the University of Rochester Medical Center. This is something that we should be proud of in the 56th Senate District. Look, all of us have been trying to navigate this new COVID world. We go out outside of our apartments or our homes, and we wear a mask, right? We wear a mask not just to protect ourselves, but to protect others. Vaccines do the same thing. We vaccinate our children to protect ourselves and our children, but also other children in our community.
I got to let Hilda jump in. About 40 seconds. Go ahead, Hilda.
Absolutely. I believe that our kids need to be vaccinated to keep them safe. You know, it would not be fair for kids that are not vaccinated to go to the regular schools, because then they are putting the other ones, the other kids, in jeopardy. Okay. So I do believe in vaccination, whether it's corona, whether it's the cancer, every vaccination that is going to keep our kids safe, I'm for it.
All right, Hilda Rosaria Escher, real quick, your website one more time.
It's hildafory.com.
Sherita Trawick, your website. Make sure you're on... SheritaTrawick.com. Jeremy Cooney, your website.
JeremyCooney.com.
Jeremy Cooney, Hilda Rosario Escher, Sherita Trawick, three Democrats running for the State Senate Democratic nomination June 23rd, but you can be voting now by absentee. The first of our many conversations with political candidates for this primary. Thanks to all three of you for taking the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan. Thank you.
We appreciate the conversation with them. And Rob Braden, the engineer, Megan Mack, the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. I will see you tonight, 8 p.m., WXXI-TV, for our live community forum on reopening and restarting the economy.